This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. For years, a group of white, mostly young men met online, ostensibly to chat about video games. They called themselves the Canadian Super Players. But what they really talked about was more sinister. They shared anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, sexist, and racist ideologies. They joked about the Holocaust and celebrated white nationalist movements in other countries. And they organized white supremacist propaganda and strategized ways to take their ideology offline and into the real world of Canadian politics and society. Journalist Shannon Caranco was part of a team that broke stories of alt-right and neo-Nazi groups in Montreal last year. She's in her last year at Concordia University, and she and fellow Concordia journalism student John Milton have just published a news story in The Globe and Mail looking at the Canadian superplayers and Canada's new far right. Shannon, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Who is the new far right, and what's so new about them?
Yeah, so the group that we were looking at over the last 10 months, so they're mostly younger guys. A lot of them are in university, different universities across Canada. Some of them are in the Canadian military, and a lot of them have gotten involved in Canadian conservative politics. So the distinction to make here is that they're not your kind of typical neo-Nazi skinheads. They're, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill younger Canadian guys from middle-class families.
Yeah, one of your sources points out that, you know, these are not sort of marginalized, disenfranchised, poor people with fewer contacts. These are people who are in many cases well-connected, wealthier, better educated than what people might have assumed in the past to be that sort of neo-Nazi demographic.
Exactly.
You write about the communications that you've reviewed for your story in the Globe and Mail. Quote, the record of their continuing conversations reveals a movement energized by the rise of white ethno-nationalism in the United States that aims to upend a decades-old multicultural consensus in this country. This country, in your quote, being Canada. Are you blaming the far right in the U.S. for the growing movement in Canada?
I think, I don't know if blame is the right word, but it definitely has a lot to do with that. I would say, especially with President Trump's campaign and all of what led up to, him being voted in, there was a lot more kind of accepted racism and anti-Semitism, within these groups. They were kind of suddenly they were allowed to think these thoughts out loud again, whether it's on Twitter, social media, or in their kind of social groups. And then, you know, it kind of heightened how they were feeling in these chat rooms.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about these chat rooms, because as I mentioned, you were looking at the Canadian super players and they were doing this kind of conversation, having these chats on an app called Discord, which is used mostly by gamers. And it sounds like maybe trying at least on the face of it to sort of pretend that they were a group of gamers, but really having these other conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Again, Discord is, it's a major kind of gaming chat platform, which has unfortunately been really popular among the far right in the last few years. There are probably, hundreds of these servers that have been exposed in the States to that have, been used to talk about neo-Nazi organizing.
And is it, a lot of these apps and these platforms, it seems like some of the people who are having really hate-fueled rhetoric are having to move from one app to the next as they get sort of kicked off. Is Discord one that has been responsive to revelations about extremism and hate-filled talk happening on its platform?
Yeah, definitely. I think about a year ago, this time, they really made an effort to start kicking these groups off of Discord. But it seems like, they say that there are billions of messages sent and received on Discord. And so it's hard for them to monitor all of this.
How did you get the chats from the Canadian super players to review for the Globe and Mail?
So after we worked with the Montreal Gazette last year, this anti-fascist group who had given us the chats that we used with the Montreal Gazette series. They gave us another chat room or chat server called the Canadian Superplayers. Yeah, and so they had liked our work with the Montreal Gazette and said, hey, you know, we have this other chat, but instead of it being, you know, 13,000 messages just in Montreal, it's 130,000 to 150,000 messages, and it's across Canada.
And did you look at all of them?
Yes, I did.
What's it like to look at 150,000 messages that are full of really hateful speech in many cases? I mean, we're talking people talking racism, anti-Semitism, anti-immigrant sentiment, definitely misogynistic conversations. What's it feel like to go through all of that?
You know, I've been doing this for over a year now, and of course it's awful, it's horrible. You know, these guys talk about wanting to be extremely violent. They were posting pictures of their guns and firearms and weapons and talking about wanting to kill people with them, specifically people of color or Jewish people. But I've pretty much become used to it, I guess, desensitized. You know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it's kind of allowed me to, look at this stuff for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
How do you verify that what you've gotten from these anti-fascist groups are accurate?
Yeah. So we've gotten that question a lot, you know, whether we can trust the information coming from Antifa or not. You know, with these 150,000 messages, and it's only about 180 of these guys in the main chats, you know, you really get to know these people through the messages that they're sharing. They talk about, you know, they intimately talk about their lives, their relationships with their families, you know, teachers at school, their friends. You know, and then on top of that, we did our own very extensive research in determining, you know, that, you know, connecting the dots and kind of connecting different people who had already been exposed elsewhere to the guys in our chat, like Jesse Sanderson or Adam Strashok.
Those are two notable exceptions in your reporting to the fact that, by and large, you're not naming people by their real-world names.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I mean, is it because you can't find them or because you have a policy of not doxing them, essentially?
Yeah. So we were able to figure out a couple more of these guys that we didn't identify in the Globe. Mostly because, you know, one of them was a minor. And then we also, you know, wanted to be able to legally, you know, back ourselves up if anything, you know, if anything happened where maybe we had, you know, accidentally confirmed that somebody was somebody else, or, you know, we only shared the names of the people who we were 100% sure that they were who they were.
One of the things that you do in the reporting is look at points where these online conversations suggest that these young men are taking their thoughts and their ideologies and trying to move them into the real world. Is that a fear that this will infiltrate Canadian politics and society even deeper than it has now?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a valid fear. A lot of these guys in the chat talked about being involved in their local Canadian conservative parties. You know, Adam Strashok was campaigning for Jason Kenney last fall, who ended up winning Alberta's United Conservative Party leadership race. You know, after Charlottesville, a lot of these guys kind of had to change what kind of language that they were using in the public. And so they really were trying, they realized that, you know, they couldn't be wearing swastikas and doing the Hail Siege salutes in public. And so to appeal to the mainstream comedian mass or Canadian masses and to appeal to, you know, more conservative political parties, they decided that, yeah, they were going to change the language that they were using to try to further their way into Canadian conservative politics and society at large.
Shannon Caranco and John Milton share a byline on a recent Globe and Mail investigation into a group known as Canadian Superplayers and Canada's new far-right movement. We have a link at vpr.org. Shannon, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.